I'd like to draw your attention in particular to the striking words of chapter 12, verse 4, the second part of the verse. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. And we, brothers and sisters, can see it. The eye of our mind, and we say, that's gross. You imagine it, mom in labor, and a dragon standing right there to devour your baby brother as soon as he's born. That's hideous. Actually, we look at today's Canada, the Western world, the dangers to our children, and somehow we can relate to this picture and see it playing itself out around us. We feel threatened. And so my question, shortly we celebrate the Supper of the Lord. Who is the host? And the host, we understand, is the child the dragon sought to devour. He couldn't. He tried and failed. Always tries, always fails. And so I summarize the sermon with this theme. The dragon tried desperately to devour God's child, but could not and cannot. In developing that theme, I ask attention for 3 points. What did the dragon do? Why are we shown? How do we work with this? The first question then, what did the dragon do? I'm asking attention for the dragon. In point of fact, the picture of chapter 12 has two main characters, the woman and the dragon. But I'm asking attention for the dragon because the dragon makes it his business to look more impressive than the woman. He wants to outdo her. And we need to understand that. Let me show you how it's happening. And I'll do that with first looking at the woman. The woman, we learn in our text, is about to give birth. About to give birth, so her contractions are upon her. Clearly, this is not her best moment. And yet, the Lord wants us to observe what she looks like. Even in labor. What she looks like, verse 1, she's clothed with the sun. The sun is the brightest object in our daily lives. She's dressed in the sun. The brightness, where does it come from? Scriptures want us to know God is light. Every light in this world created by Him. Her brightness reflects ultimately His brightness, His light. She has the moon under her feet. How do I have to picture that? Well, don't picture it, but remember the words of Genesis chapter 1 when God gave to humanity a position of dominion over. Yes, even over the moon. All God's handiwork under humanity's feet. This woman too. Human as she is, has all God's world under her feet. She has a crown of 12 stars. It speaks to royalty. The extent of her domain reaches even to heaven. And I say that because the word stars, 12 stars, appears elsewhere in the book of Revelation to refer to angels. Even angels under her feet. 12, the fullness of angels. The point. She's impressive. Hence, verse 1, a great sign. She's in labor. Clearly, her impressiveness tells us something about the child she's bearing. But even as her contractions press upon her, there's an intruder in the labor room, the dragon. Who's that? And children, you see dragons in your coloring books and you've got to color this animal in. But nobody's ever seen a dragon. It's a mythological creature. That's true in our days. It's true in ancient times, Bible times. But there's something about a dragon that catches the notion of intimidation. They spit fire. They're threatening. They devour. And that's this case. That's true here too. According to verse 9 of chapter 12, this dragon is the ancient serpent, the devil, the deceiver of Genesis 3. And he's presenting himself as this mythological dragon in order to display his character, a sense of savagery, of cruelty. You can't tame me. It's this theme of intimidation. And so, verse 3, it's a great red dragon. Great, not in the sense of big, but great in the sense of scary. That's also why he's red, color of blood. He's hungry, devours, threatening. Look at how he's dressed. If the woman's impressive, he more. 7 heads. Can you picture that? And he wants to devour. What's your chances? 7. Number of fullness. Heads. Authority. Head of state, right? Authority. He's claiming fullness of authority. I got the right to be here. 10 horns. A horn represents power. That's different from authority, right? A horn, power, a goat, a ram, uses his horn to bully, to push. He's got 10 horns. There's a full number again. He's claiming fullness of power. All sovereignty. And 7 diadems on his head. She wears 1 crown. He 7. I mean, he's really something. And power, you can sweep down a third of the stars, angels. There's a reference to the fallen to see the angels who follow the devil. The whole point is, congregation, he's presenting himself as bigger, as better than the woman. Intimidation would terrorize her, frighten. And there he stands at the foot of the bed. to devour her child as soon as nature has taken its course. And she, being in labor, contractions being what they are, helpless to defend her child. This is cruelty. This is nasty that he's standing there. So that's our first question, right? What did the dragon do? But now we're second. Why are we showing this picture? And to answer that, I draw your attention to the use of the word sign in verse 1 and verse 3. What's a sign for? The sign is to confirm a truth. So God says to Gideon this and that about what's going to happen with his enemies. And what's the sign? Well, the fleece is dry, the fleece is wet. There's your confirmation, there's your sign. Jesus preached much and did many miracles. The miracles were signs to confirm the accuracy of what he's preaching. The kingdom of heaven is here. And so it is here. These signs confirm, but confirm what? And there's where we need the last part of chapter 11. There is your context. The last part of chapter 11, at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world's become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Wonderful words, yes? Christ, King, this world belongs to him. He's taken his power, begun to reign. Wonderful. We like those kind of words. But words are easy. Declarations are cheap. Where is the proof? I don't know it's real. And that question, brothers and sisters, becomes the more pressing when you read in verse 18, the nations raged. Psalm 2. Christ is king? Then why do the nations do everything they do? You know what? That's our question. Is Christ Jesus King of Kings, Lord of this world? Then why do things go the way they go? Doesn't the news give the lie to the claim of Christ's kingship? You see, that's why we need a sign. And the Lord gives us the sign in order to encourage. Okay, so how does the sign confirm the sovereignty of Jesus Christ? Well, think it through, brothers and sisters. A woman in labor, a dragon, identified as the serpent of Genesis 3. What's the picture remind you of? And I want you to tell me that this reminds you of Genesis 3. Of the promise of God, the word of God that he spoke to the serpent directly after the fall into sin. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Those glorious words of verse 15, Genesis 3:15, says God to the serpent in the hearing of Adam and Eve, says God, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel." That statement, we understand, God spoke directly after the fall into sin. The fall into sin? Doesn't that mean the dragon devoured the woman? She fell. doesn't that mean that the dragon now owns the woman? She's hers, his. And God says, no. You can't have the woman. I establish enmity. I establish conflict between you, the serpent, the dragon, and the woman. This is what's going to characterize human history. Your effort to swallow the woman, but the best you can do, says God to the serpent, is bruise her heel. And God adds, but the woman will bruise your head, crush you. Is that how it played out in history? You know your Bible. Eve has a son, Cain. Has a second son, Abel. The first son kills the second. What grief to Eve and Adam. Her heel is bruised. Abram's got a son, Ishmael. The second son, Isaac. The first one, Ishmael, is the bully. He'll crush Isaac with his teasing. What grief to Mother Sarah. Bruises her heel. People of God end up in Egypt. And the children, the boys, drowned in the Nile. What grief to the mothers and fathers. The dragon bruises her heel. Christ Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And Herod sends his soldiers to kill all the children under 2 years and under. What grief to the mothers. Rachel weeps for her children, is how Scripture puts it. Her heel is bruised. But the promise was the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So Abel is dead. And God gives a new child in Seth, and in his days men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Aha! Satan can't win. Ishmael bullies Isaac. Abram sends it away, and Isaac flourishes in the service of the Lord. Satan can't win. The children of Israel drowned in Egypt. And Moses is put in a basket and ends up being raised in Pharaoh's palace itself. The last laugh is for the woman. She's crushing the head of the serpent. Here's a deliverer for Israel. The children of Bethlehem are killed by Herod's soldiers. But Jesus flees to Egypt and comes back and exercises his ministry. Yes, he ends up on the cross, and you would say, now Satan certainly beat him here. But what happened on the cross, as he atones for sin, says Paul in Colossians 2, he disarms the principalities and powers. He defanged the dragon. As a matter of fact, the dragon's crushed, bound, defeated. And Jesus arises from the dead, ascends into heaven to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the gospel in its glorious reality. He's king, because sin's atoned for. The seed of the woman reconciled to God. Then it's true. We live today. And we see the nations rage, and we see all kinds of developments that worry us. And we say, our children? The devil's going to devour them. It's not cool to have children, especially not more than two. There's ungodly spirits who want to control education in the schools, the content of TV, canceling of Christian material and social media. There's so much deceit in this world. Temptations. And the Lord comes to you and says, now here's a sign. I told you back in Genesis 3, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Well, let me show you a sign. Revelation 12. There's the dragon seeking to devour the seed. But what happens? The child is caught up to God and to his throne. The devil couldn't swallow the seed of the woman. He couldn't then? Never could. That's the gospel. And that's why there's a church today. The seed of the woman is still on planet Earth, including in Dunville. And you're part of it. Demonstration of the futility of Satan's purposes. He can't achieve what he wants. So that's our second point. Why are we shown? To encourage us. Okay. So how do we work with this? Our last point. How do you work with this? My brothers, my sisters, we train ourselves to see this battle in all that's happening around us. This antithesis, this conflict, this enmity, this hatred between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. We're needing to see that conflict around us, but not, underline not, in the sense of, ooh, the devil's getting stronger. Things are getting worse. Things are going to get really bad. The devil's winning. No, my brothers. No, my sisters. The devil is not winning. He has not won. He cannot win. He will not win. Christ Jesus is victorious. He's crushed the head of the serpent. And you and I are meant in eyes of faith to see the evidence of Jesus' victory. This morning we celebrate Lord's Supper. Whose idea is Lord's Supper? Who is the host at this table? Well, yes, it's that child of Revelation 12. Not only that, to whom does this exalted child give the bread and the wine, the signs and seals of his victory? Are there receivers for his work? Or has the devil swallowed all potential deceivers so that Jesus left all by himself? Right? And you catch the point. There is a congregation. There is a church. That is Christ's doing. And you are meant to see the evidence of his victory. You are here. You eat and drink. Church of Jesus Christ. And look at the age range in the congregation. Multiple generations. One generation bringing forth another. That generation growing, professing the faith, bringing forth another generation, raising the little ones in the fear of the Lord. Oh, it's all done in weakness. I get all of that. But the fact of the multiple generations is evidence of Christ's victory. The seed of the woman continues. And so, my brothers, my sisters, that table is so meant to encourage you. Christ remains king. Satan, he's a wannabe. He tries to make himself look impressive. But don't be afraid of him. He's defeated. Amen.